Oh, that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon, 407. One of our favorite representatives right here sitting across the table from me, Representative Mike Pitts, is here today. Welcome to the show, Mike Pitts.
Thank you, Ms. Ann, and I appreciate that statement.
Well, it's true. It's very, very true. And I tell you what, I mean, what a day to be here on 9/11. This morning we had a remembrance ceremony on the Isle of Ann show, and I know that you were just asking me what I was doing, and I was at home, I was getting ready for work, and I happened to be watching TV, and I looked up and I thought, God, that looks like a movie. What kind of a movie would be doing that? And then it hit. How about you?
I was working on a boat motor.
Working on a boat motor?
I was, and listening to the radio station in Lawrence, the morning talk show in my pickup truck while I was working on the boat motor.
Mm-hmm.
And the Randy Stevens, the DJ over there, said, we have some bad news, and he put the alert out. So I put down the boat motor parts and walked in and turned the TV on, and I saw exactly what you were talking about, the planes flying into the Twin Towers. And I got really, really mad. The anger that hit me at that moment, if I put it into words, I'd probably get...
We wouldn't be on the radio?
No. Very, very true statement. I'm an old cop and an old soldier, and...
You know how to say those words.
I verbalized it very well, but
First, though, you had no idea what was happening, you know, when this first started happening.
But when the second plane flew in,
yeah,
I knew what it was. When the and you could see the smoke. When I actually turned the TV on was when you saw one tower was smoking and you saw the plane flying in and go through. That was the second hit. And that's what I saw, and I knew very well then what was going on.
Sure.
I didn't know who, why, or any of those things, but I knew what, and I knew that our country had been attacked. I did not realize and didn't fathom the changes that would create to our society.
Absolutely. And, you know, here we are a year later after Benghazi. And we still don't have answers. We still don't know what happened there. I mean, it's hard to put into words all the things that are happening. Then we have Syria there, and we have Putin, who has, I believe the word is checkmated. You kind of think that way?
Yes,
our
I do. Our
President Obama has been checkmated by Putin?
I don't. That was not actually my word. That was one that I read. Checkmated is a good term, but I think in country boy terms, he one-upped him.
He one-upped him?
I think Putin one-upped our president, and that makes me very sad.
Makes me sad, too. And, you know, as I know that you received a lot of emails from people that were concerned about voting for Syria, that, of course, you were not for that. And, of course, you didn't have any way that you could vote for that because you're not in Congress up there in Washington, D.C. But you don't believe that's our fight either, do you?
No, I do not. Syria is the bad guys fighting the bad guys. And you were talking about Benghazi. I firmly believe that Benghazi was trying to recover arms that had been stolen that were being shipped to the rebels there. I don't know why this administration won't simply say that that's the case, if that's the case, and say we were trying to help one side. Presidents have done that all through the history of this country.
Absolutely.
And that would be no different. So... I can say this, Ann.
Okay.
The Middle East was not in this turmoil when Ronald Reagan was president.
Right.
And Ronald Reagan didn't just one-up our opposite number in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He did it several times. I long for those days.
Well, I think Russia, of course, would like to be a power. And they are taking, grasping a hold at this opportunity to be that power force again.
Russia has not been a power since Reagan was in office.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't just grasp an opportunity. They are seen on the world stage today as back in a leadership seat, a driver's seat of a leadership. And that should never have happened.
Doesn't make you worry about what would happen with Korea and now China and the fact of where we stood and how we handled ourselves in this situation?
Absolutely. And where it scares me the most is the soldiers that we currently have in the field. Because if they don't respect our country, they certainly won't respect our soldiers in the field, which makes it a much more dangerous situation for those guys, men and women, wherever they are in the world. People are not going to be afraid to take a swing at a weak country.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people would like to take a swing at us.
Absolutely.
I get agitated when I start thinking about, though.
Well, I've been agitated, too, so here we are agitating together this afternoon.
Where we are. Two washing machines agitating.
Agitating together here this afternoon. But it is, you know, as we move forward, do you think we will ever get the answers on Benghazi, or has that boat sailed and we won't ever get the answers?
Jeff Duncan says we'll get the answers. It may take a while. And it may take the court system's help, but we will get the answers. And I trust Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do,
if
too.
If he thinks he can get the answers, and he sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee and Homeland Security. So I believe that he will definitely go after the answers, and I trust him to get them.
Sure. It's just like, though, we still don't have all the answers on Fast and Furious, do we?
No. Well, we have the answers. We just have not had any action.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that was one of the questions I asked each of the Republican candidates for president. And that was before Fast and Furious hit mainstream news. I asked them, each one, would you, if elected president, prosecute Eric Holder for Fast and Furious? Only one candidate of the Republican candidates knew what I was talking about, and that was Herman Cain. And the shock that I got was that Governor Perry of Texas had no clue what I was talking about.
Well, Texas is a big state, Mike.
Texas is a big state.
He got a lot on his plate there.
But Fast and Furious
was right on his border.
Out in his backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
Herman Cain knew what I was talking about, and Herman Cain said he would be prosecuted. That made my decision of who I was going to support. Unfortunately, he was not in the race to the end.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, we've got another political round coming up. 14 months, we'll be electing a new governor, or keeping the same governor. We don't know which at this moment, but there will be a race coming up. And I'm sure if it's anything like it has started out, it's going to be down and dirty.
It's looking that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, when the when opposition shows up to protest at your coming out party,
exactly,
that pretty much defines what the race is going to be like. That's pure Harpootlian.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think he was in it. Is he still in it?
Nope. But he's still. People he trained are still there.
People he trained are still there. Yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, I'm sure, and we're not going to get into that. But it has already 14 months out, and it already looks like it's going to be down and dirty here.
And I normally, in a show like this, don't talk partisan politics, but that race is going to force partisan politics.
And that is such a shame, Mike. At a time when we really need our state to come together, we need our legislature to come together, we need our Congress people and senators up in Washington, D.C. I mean, we have got to get some coming together, but if that's what's going to happen, it's going to be bad.
I agree. And here's the thing. The House of Representatives, we have reached, in the last 2 years, we have achieved a point where it's been minus a great deal of partisan politics. both sides of the aisle have worked together to make progress on a lot of issues. And
that's here in South Carolina.
Here in South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking about our State House of Representatives. We've worked very well together. We passed a budget in 2 days.
That was pretty amazing.
It was. I mean, the filibusters just weren't there because of the work that had been done in the build-up to it. Generally, the leadership or the party in leadership ostracizes the minority party.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter which one's in control. It's happened both ways in Washington. In the House, the last 2 years, there's been a definite attempt to work together prior to legislation or prior to the budget going to the floor. And it has shown in the progress we've made there. Now, I can't say much about the way the House and Senate has worked together at times in the last 2 years, but the partisan politics has been put to the back burner in the House to make things work. There are times when the differences in political ideology force us to stand our ground and no compromise on certain things. But as far as working together to try to solve the problems like budget problems and other things facing the state, I think we've made a lot of progress there. And that's a long answer to a short question, but this particular governor's race and the way it's come out of the chutes is going to make Columbia an uncomfortable place next year.
And that's a shame.
It
because
is.
The whole state will suffer because of it.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
That's correct. Well, there, when you see the connection with the TB stuff in 96,
mm-hmm.
when you see the attempts to interject, and all you have to do is dig just a little bit below the surface, and you can see where instigation's coming from on that particular issue. Is there a problem? Yes. Was there a problem? Yes. Was resolution attempted? Yes. But to use that and to use the fear of the people in 96 for political advantage, that's bad news. And
isn't that a microcosm of our country, though, Mike?
Well, yes, it is. And it's sad because South Carolina had been above that in the past.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is sad about things is when it comes from the top and works its way down, and now it's in the state. This is going to be a problem for us at a time where South Carolina is ranked second, tied with Georgia for people, businesses looking at coming into the state.
Exactly.
We need to keep our heads high, and we need to keep moving forward.
Well, we are poised to be right now, we being South Carolina, what Atlanta, Georgia was for two decades. And that was drawing in corporate headquarters, drawing in big companies, drawing in high-paying jobs. Not just jobs, high-paying jobs. ZF and Lawrence.
Sure.
The Colgate Palmolive.
The Sun Project. We're hoping it comes through here, right?
Project.
Yeah, exactly. Project Sun. Let me say it right. Project Sun. There we go.
But you've got things on the horizon.
Yes.
And there are projects in both of those counties that I represent on the horizon that we can't talk about yet that could be very, very good. And you are absolutely right. Those companies looking here are looking here because we are business friendly and it is a good situation for them to come into. But that race could put a damper on it.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I am here with Representative Mike Pitts. We'll be back after the break. If you got a question for Mike, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too, paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I am here with Representative Mike Pitts. We are sitting here on 9/11. We've been talking about the state. We could do our own State of the Union, couldn't we?
I have.
Yeah, I know, right here this afternoon. We certainly have. But we've been talking about things going on in the state. You know, one of the things I do want to mention, kind of shifting gears here, you know, I didn't realize that your museum over there in Lawrence has been selected as best in the upstate by readers of the Greenville News.
I didn't either.
It's right here in an article I'm looking at. So how about that?
Well, I'm proud. I didn't realize that, and I'm proud of that. I've been working with the board over there. The Lawrence delegation, I serve on too. The Lawrence delegation did a fundraiser last Saturday for the museum to raise proceeds for the new building. They've outgrown the building they were in and had a new one donated, and they're trying to raise the funds to...
It's supposed to be a super place, super building and everything, right?
It's on the square.
Yeah.
Really nice location, and... they are trying to do it right, so I'm proud of them. And in that vein, Ann, I'd like to take a moment and congratulate you on a recent award.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You selected...
Best radio show right here, the one you're on.
State.
Yep, for the whole state.
And I want to congratulate you on that. I told you once before that it's not an easy show to be on sometimes because you ask the hard questions and don't mind, but you also give an opportunity to answer, and some people are not so fair on their show.
Well, I always enjoy hearing all sides of the question, and I want to hear the answer, and I know our listeners want to hear the answers.
Well, there are two sides to everything. It may be 1 to 99 in the percentage. I learned that as a police officer early on, that especially on a domestic call.
Right.
When I got there, both people thought it was 100% one way, but there were two sides to every story.
Absolutely. And if we're ever going to get anywhere in this world, we need to hear it all and then form an opinion. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. And, you know, people... It's become very hard being an elected official because of the no compromise mentality of some groups and some individuals. And I have changed position in the past on an issue when I received better information that enlightened me to a higher level on a particular issue. Sometimes you start out the shoot with something that looks good with all the information you have at hand, and the more information comes in, it may not look quite so good a little further down the road, or vice versa. It may look bad to begin with, but once you really get more information in and have a chance to dig into it pretty deep, your position may change.
A lot of people don't like that, though, do they?
No,
you know, they think if you make one position, you cannot change your opinion, even though more information comes to light that makes you change your mind.
Well, Ann, I try to be as educated on an issue as I can when I make my first decision that I don't have to do that. But sometimes all the information that you really need is just not available at that point in time. And no, people don't like and political strategists and operatives love to use that and say you flip-flopped. Not necessarily the case. My dad once told me it'd be a long road from birth to grave if there were no forks in the road.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to change paths. And not making excuses or anything. I'm just saying that sometimes...
No, it's the reality.
It's the reality of it. I'd rather have someone that would change when they were shown that the path they were going down was wrong than I would to have someone that just stubbornly drove off the cliff.
Exactly.
And that happens. Speaking on the issue on Second Amendment recently, And fella told me, you don't compromise on Second Amendment. Now let's look at that just a minute. Do you know what the original debate on the Second Amendment was with the Founding Fathers?
What was it?
Whether it was going to be the First or the Second Amendment.
Okay. That was the debate.
Some wanted it to be the First Amendment.
Okay.
With the freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, our current right. First Amendment, to be the Second Amendment. And it ended up being compromised to the Second Amendment.
Was that a bad thing?
No, it was not. It protects, it's put in a position where it protects the First Amendment, and I like that. I would have been happy had it been the Fourth Amendment, and you'd have been able to say all those first three that protect your individual liberties,
yes.
The Second Amendment protects them all, which it actually does, but it would have been a good spot for it as the Fourth Amendment. But the no compromise issue, I thought about that a little bit. I will not compromise on bad legislation that affects my gun rights. If it's negative or anti-gun legislation, I won't compromise. But if it's pro-gun legislation, I will compromise to move the ball down the road. I look at it like a general in a war or a coach in a football game.
Sure.
I want to take as much ground as I can and hold it. And then I'll fight another day and try to take more ground. But some folks don't see it that way. And it's become, start of the conversation was no compromise has made it a difficult thing to be an elected official.
Yes.
And it has.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I like sitting on this side of the table talking to you. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. We're going to join South Carolina News in Progress. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking with Representative Mike Pitts from over there in Lawrence. We were talking a little bit about the museum over there. I tell you what, I think that's really exciting, and they've got to raise a lot of money, though, don't they?
They do.
$750,000 to $1 million? Wow.
Well, that's total for long-term project.
Oh, okay.
That's life of the project. They really need about $100,000 to get the structure and the aesthetics of the building itself in line to begin with, which I caught a little heat because I actually put my name on an earmark for that particular project.
Down there in Columbia on the budget.
I did.
And I think Governor Haley nixed that, didn't she?
She vetoed it, and we came very – she actually vetoed all museum projects in the state. And that was the only one that was a close vote, was the Lawrence Museum. The rest of them were hit pretty hard. But my statement was this, Ann, where the museum building is on Main Street, the state, through grants, through downtown revitalization grants and other grants, beautification grants, have put a lot of money into the square of Lawrence, just like they have to the Main Street area of Greenwood.
Sure.
If that building collapses, we've lost on an investment that the state's already made. It's not like it's a building that's sitting by itself off to the side. It's in the middle of the square. So the backside, the building behind it, is going to have to be torn down. If that structure's weakened and it were to collapse, which is a possibility, if they can't raise that $100,000 to shore it up to begin with, then the state, a quarter, because the square's four sides, a quarter of that investment, this is the way I was looking at it. A quarter of that investment we've already made would be hurt. And that's much more than $100,000. So I was looking at it as an investment back into what we'd already put in place.
Sure. Now, the state had at the end, I think, what was it, a 68 million, am I right? Is it M?
Well,
is it million or billion? Which million, I believe it was.
Yeah, we're not federal. 68 million. 68 million.
Surplus.
And that's a shadow number, too.
A shadow number? What do you mean?
I mean, it's not a firm number. It's not like I've got $68 in my pocket. It's a target that can move up and down. 68 is supposed to be there. Some of it may, through prior legislation, already be targeted or earmarked in a certain direction through projects that were put into the budget with a statement that says as funding is available.
Okay. So that money could be actually spoken for.
Could be already.
Even though it's not at that moment, it doesn't show as far as. But that shows, wasn't that show that the state is actually in better shape as far as economically than we were several years ago?
It shows that we have come out on the backside of the recession stronger and much faster than most other states. And some states are facing bankruptcy. Right,
sure.
At this moment.
Sure.
And South Carolina has a surplus, not a large surplus. 68 million is a large number to a boy from Hickory Tavern.
Yeah.
But it's not in relative terms of state and federal budgets. That's not a lot of money.
And if you had a disaster or something, it could be gone in a day.
Well, I was talking with Brian White, the chairman of Ways and Means, this past week about that particular money, and he was asking what my opinion is that we should do with it. And I mentioned three different projects, roads and bridges being number one.
We got to have that infrastructure.
I've been an advocate for putting anything we could find into roads and bridges for a decade. And I had a good ally on that I lost, but I lost him to Congress.
Must be talking about Jeff Duncan.
I am.
Okay.
Jeff and I brought that up during the Bush administration when he sent some money back to the state. And we brought that up in on the House floor in 2003.
Well, I tell you what, there's a big difference between our roads in 2003 and the way our roads are today.
That's correct.
And the bridges are particularly getting kind of scary if you live in an area that has big bridges.
Had Jeff and I gotten our way, they wouldn't be quite as bad a shape as they are.
Okay.
We tried to get money put into that position. Nobody listens to a freshman legislator.
Well, what about where we are with the infrastructure and, of course, the infrastructure bank? And, one of the concerns by most everybody in the upstate is that this upper state area gets some of that money rather than it all going down to the coast. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it will. We will definitely get our share of it, and we have to, because we are, and this is being recognized by Department of Commerce. Bobby Hitt has talked about this in closed and open meetings with me. Billy Odell, Senator Odell, and I both serve on the Rural Infrastructure Authority. That's two of seven votes that serve on that. And Bobby Hitt understands, the governor understands, and DOT fully understands. The upstate is the manufacturing base.
Absolutely.
You were talking earlier about us being poised to do a lot of good things in economic development in this state. Well, it flows, those goods flow in, raw materials flow in through Charleston, through the port. The completed package flows back out through the port of Charleston.
Absolutely.
But it's manufactured in the upstate. We have to have that infrastructure to make that work. And if we're going to continue to draw good projects with those good high-paying jobs to this part of the state, we have to have that infrastructure. And the current administration understands that. The current administration being Governor Haley, Bobby Hitt, at Department of Commerce, and others fully understand that the infrastructure has to be there. And it's not just because of the transfer of goods from the manufacturing base back to the port. It also is because the number one industry in our state at this time is tourism. And people don't like to ride down bumpy roads.
Well, I guess that would put a reason to put it down there on the coast then, doesn't it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
A lot of that traffic is now coming to the upstate region with Joe Cassie Gorges and other things that we have in the upstate. Aiken, in another direction, has a world-class equestrian events.
Sure.
So we have a lot to offer as a state, a small state. We have a lot to offer. You can be from the mountains to the coast in 4 hours.
4 hours, that's what I was going to say,
And see beautiful mountains. You can watch the director of Department of Natural Resources, Alvin Taylor, is a good friend of mine. And Alvin, speaking the other day, said, I can watch the sun come up over the ocean and watch it go down in the mountains and stop for lunch in Columbia on the way.
Now, isn't that an awesome idea to be able to do that? You know, I think, I mean, just to go off subject here, I think there's nothing more beautiful than to see the sunrise over the ocean and then to be able to be in the mountains and see it set on the other side. That would be pretty darn awesome.
And I'd never really thought about it that way until I heard him say it. And he was right, and he was he was cracking a joke. I can stop in Columbia and eat lunch on the way.
That is pretty cool. That is, and then that is one of the beauties of being a smaller state.
It is. My son lives in Portland, Oregon, and I repeated that to him, and he said, "Well, Dad, I can watch the sunset over the ocean in the mountains." Here in Oregon. I said, yeah, but I can get in the water and it's warm.
There you go. Hey, we're here with Representative Mike Pitts. If you got a question for Mike, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I do have Representative Mike Pitts sitting across the table from me today. Always a pleasure to sit down and have a conversation about things and be able to have the opportunity to really explore them. But, you know, one of the things that is coming up, are you going to be at the Grassroots tomorrow afternoon over there, Gleams, and then the tomorrow over there at... at the chamber event?
I probably won't be. I have other things on the table tomorrow.
Other things on the table? Well, how about the NRA banquet? Are you going to be at that?
I probably will make it to the NRA banquet late.
Late, okay. Well, we're going to be there because Jeff's birthday is tomorrow. So that's where we're going to celebrate Jeff's birthday tomorrow. Well, at the NRA, Friends of the NRA banquet tomorrow. So yeah. We hope to see you there.
Well, Friends of the NRA and the NRA, people... take a moment. People quite often associate those two together, but it's actually the Friends of the NRA is a foundation, and that's why they can't be as politically active as the NRA can.
Right. That's why I put Friends of the NRA in there.
That's
all right. So we are here. We had a call come in. Gentleman wants to know about the garbage coming up from other states brought into South Carolina. I think that actually has to do with flow control, and there's been a lot of conversation in the state between counties what should be done on that. So are there two issues here? What about the one coming from out of state and then garbage control between counties?
Well, it's much more complicated than just saying garbage from other states coming into South Carolina. And the issue of counties is a huge part of the equation. For me, it is as simple as free market enterprise.
Absolutely.
I supported the flow control bill when it came through the House, and I will continue to support that bill.
Now, what does it mean that you support it? What does that mean?
It means that it does not allow a monopoly by one local county or one local government. And I understand that does affect Greenwood to some degree. The question posed to me by one of the county councilmen was a very valid question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if we're charging $25 and Greenville's charging $10, where are you going to take your garbage?
To Greenville.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Now, out of state, you've got to think in terms of out-of-state garbage coming here. You've got to think in terms of the interstate commerce and the Federal Interstate Commerce Act and Federal Interstate Commerce Clause. Out-of-state garbage is already allowed to come into the state. What you have to look at is there are regulations, both federal and state, that only allow certain kinds of garbage to go to certain kinds of facilities. And also, they can only be built so close together. So you have DHEC regulations, you have EPA regulations, you have a lot of oversight on these facilities to begin with. But the bottom line on flow control is very simple. It's a free enterprise issue.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that should be. And when we start controlling that, then what else are we going to be controlling, right?
We're going to be controlling everything as government, and free enterprise will no longer exist if we continue to travel down that road.
Absolutely. Now, one of the other questions is, I know you were a little bit upset at the end of session when the concealed carry for restaurants didn't make it through the Senate. What's going to happen on that?
Yeah, I was upset behind.
I've read a little bit about you being upset here, Mike.
I was upset behind it. And it was not necessarily because of the bill being stalled, but how it happened and a lot of what happened in the process. I got targeted as anti-gun in part of that debate.
Anti-gun?
Anti-gun.
Against guns? Now, come on now, Mike. I know that's not true.
Well, a group called Palmetto Gun Rights and a guy by the name of Talbert Black from Lexington County put out a letter saying that because I put an amendment on in the House, I had killed the bill treacherously in the middle of the night, put an amendment on that killed the bill. I have a copy of that letter that he sent out. How do I treacherously, while I'm standing at the podium,
right,
put an amendment up in the middle of the night when we're not in session in the middle of the night? And those were questions that a lot of people didn't ask themselves. They just commenced to call my house and had my wife in tears, because they thought I was trying to kill their gun rights. But to get back to your original... You hit a nerve.
I knew I would. Yes.
I have every award you can garner from gun rights groups for the last decade, and got targeted as anti-gun. But anyway, the bill was in the Senate. It's a Senate bill, came to the House. We amended it. It had already been amended in Judiciary Committee in the House with an amendment that the pro-gun community wanted, which was called the Cinderella Clause. It ended at midnight, therefore the Cinderella Clause, which meant you could carry until midnight, you couldn't carry after midnight with a concealed weapons permit.
Bong.
Yes. Okay. I guess you turned into a pumpkin or something at that point. But the House took the Cinderella Clause out. So the bill had to go back to the Senate. Why I got targeted was because on the House floor, I attached another pro-gun bill to the restaurant carry bill, which was the overhaul of the concealed weapons laws. And I attached that to it. And the people that wrote the letters did not understand the system, i.e. your question about civics at the beginning of this show,
right,
that bill already had to go back to the Senate. I didn't send it back to the Senate with an amendment. It had to go back anyway. And the bill that I put on was not controversial. So it went back to the Senate and went into debate on the Senate floor. As session ended for this particular year, and it, bear in mind it's a two-year session, so it ended for the year with that bill in debate, which is where it will pick up when we go back in session in January. So the bill did not die. It is simply stalled by the anti-gun crowd that were trying to stop it in the Senate. And it they were effective in talking the clock out, but they won't be effective in talking the clock out of an entire session when they go back.
So that would be one of the first things that's picked up?
It will be the first thing.
The first thing, okay.
It would go back to that debate on the Senate calendar. And Senator Larry Martin, who is the chairman of Judiciary Committee, made the statement with about 10 minutes to go on the clock that we would like to take this to conference committee and try to work this out. If you guys talk the clock out and don't let us take it to conference committee, we will pass the House version when we come back. And I'm pretty sure that's what they'll do.
So we can anticipate that that will be first up when you go back into session in January.
That you could anticipate that the Senate will take it up very early in 2014, and I feel certain they will pass it.
Now, I just wonder, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, but I just want the people to know, when you first came in here, you said you were supposed to have some time off, but you haven't had much time off this summer. You are working continually in conferences, in meetings. Is that what's going on?
I have been. I'm working on a variety of issues, but Child Protective Services and child care is a priority of mine. It's become a priority. Some of the bills I pushed through in the family court system in the last 2 years and am continuing to work on are part of it. But it's looking at guardian ad litem, foster care, adoptive services, the whole gamut of child protective services. And I've got one bill. I have a knack for controversial bills.
Not you.
I have one that I'm going to drop in January that you'll be talking about, I'm sure you'll hear about, and I'll give you the heads up. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly.
Okay.
And it will be a bill that parental rights are terminated when a child is brought out of a meth lab area. So if you're operating a meth lab in your home and you get caught, you will immediately lose your paternal rights. The child will be taken. And it's because of the harm that we are seeing physically.
Absolutely.
From that situation to children. And I see that as one of the biggest dangers on the horizon. We have...
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead there, Mike Pitts.
We have one of the largest meth problems in the nation here in South Carolina because we are at an apex of travel lanes from the northeast New York area mm-hmm. down to Florida and from New Mexico coming up out of New Mexico and crossing into Atlanta, Georgia. So South Carolina is at the apex of those two drug trails, and it's hit us hard. Methamphetamine and meth labs. The federal government, for instance, quit putting any monies into meth lab cleanups. Meth lab cleanup is an expensive proposition because of all the dangerous and toxic chemicals used in the manufacture of it.
Well, isn't it when somebody has a house and they want to sell that house, they have to disclose that a meth lab was there?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And we saw a huge problem on the coast a couple of years ago with meth labs in the motels and hotels, because when a meth lab is operated in the hotel room, the whole hotel room has to be disassembled.
Wow.
And new carpet, new walls, everything put back in. It's that poisonous. So my bill says, if you want to put your kid in that situation, You don't deserve to have the child.
Well, Mike Pitts, I know you've done, you did an awesome job with that, what was the bill that passed about working together for the betterment of the child?
The child custody and parenting plan.
Right. Yeah. And that I know that you've gotten a lot of kudos from, first people weren't so sure it was a good thing, but now you're getting a lot of kudos from all sides on working this out.
Yeah, some of the family court attorneys and family court judges, a lot of them were resistant in the beginning. Most of them are seeing positives from the parenting plan. Attorneys are, it's another document that they have to work through with their client. But I've had the attorneys tell me that if they can get the two parents to do what they should do and fill this out, it makes them think about what they're doing and put that child as the priority. And that's where it should be.
Absolutely. You know, this case that's been going on for so long, the baby Jessica.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough case to see it going back and forth, isn't it?
Well, imagine baby Jessica. When I started this, quest, I wanted to look at how the system operates through the eyes of a 5 or 6 year old.
That must have to do with your granddaughter.
It would. Yeah. And it's pretty simple for me because I can get on a 5 or 6 year old level. quickly.
But, what are you saying here, Mike?
I'm saying I'm still a kid at heart.
Okay.
But speaking of, I went to Grandparents Day at my granddaughter's school today. Muffins with grandparents.
Muffins with grandparents. Yeah. All right.
And that was at Hickory Tavern School in Lawrence County's District 55. I went to that this morning, and I looked around, and there were a lot of my classmates from Hickory Tavern School in that room. And I told my wife, I said, there's a lot of my buddies and classmates in here, but they all are old.
There you go. There you go. But as far as what you've done by working through a child's eyes, it has to be a very rewarding way to look at things and be working on it.
It has, and it's simple. A child wants time and attention and guidance and role model from both parents.
Sure.
Now, all things being equal, they should have that opportunity. Can you split the baby? Solomon couldn't do it. I can't. No, you can't do a 50-50. Yep. And logistics, physical logistics, geographic logistics, a lot of different things come into play. But you need a sliding scale. It does not have to be an absolute I win, you lose situation. The child should win.
Absolutely.
That's the one that should win. And that's my goal. Will I accomplish it? I don't think I'll ever make it perfect, but...
You can make it better.
I can make it better.
Well, Mike Pitts, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the show. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us today.
It's a pleasure. And as always, I thank you for giving me the ability to talk to constituents. That's important to people in my line of work.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.